It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly 90,000 Afghan refugees have resettled in America. Those are U.S. State Department figures. Some families have made a life in Wisconsin since the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in 2021, and we learn what that adjustment is like. You can join the conversation as well. Call in with a question, add comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Najib Azad resettled in Stevens Point and writes about this period of his family's life. Najib, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you so much. And good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning to you. How do you feel about your family's new life in Stevens Point?
Well, of course, it has been, there has been challenges and there have been difficulties, but at the end of the day, what we went through and where we came from and how we came and made it to Wisconsin Stevens Point, it was a relief. The post-trauma phase of our life, like I said before, there were challenges, but it's been a year and a half now living in Stevens Point, and I think we are getting well settled now.
And this semester, you're a visiting lecturer at UW Stevens Point. What are you teaching to students?
I've been teaching at UWSP since March 6 months, I believe, or 7 months. I'm teaching global affairs, so what's happening in the world, especially in the part of the world that most of the Americans and the American students are not familiar with, the Middle East, Asia, Central Asia, the Ukraine and Russian conflict, and now the Palestine and Israel, all that stuff, what's happening in Asia, South Asia, and Middle East. So global affairs, especially the Eastern political thought.
Do you find as you teach global affairs that the conflicts that you had just mentioned, do they all interconnect in some way? How do you connect them with students as you explain these conflicts in different parts of the world and America's role in them?
Well, I believe they're all interconnected. There are issues, unfortunately. Very few individuals in the world, or I would say the firms or companies, they're involved in conflicts like what we have been witnessing in Ukraine, and then we are unfortunately now witnessing in Israel and Palestine. Yeah, there are interconnection. There are, and I believe since February 2022 until March 2023, about $2 trillion weaponry were sold in international market in Ukraine and Russian war. And of course, that weaponry is made somewhere in a factory, in a company, and that companies and factories are owned by people. So, and then, of course, the regional connectivity, and then we have the oil issue, we have the water issue, the oceans, the control over those routes, the transits, and then you have, in the region, you have Iran, China, Russia. So these are regional powers, and then on the other side, the United States with its allies in Europe, the NATO. So all these conflicts, unfortunately, which are fought in somebody else's on somebody else's soil, but the war is between the big international and regional powers, unfortunately.
And these wars cause innocent people to be on the move. I want to turn back to your family. How long was your family in America before settling in Wisconsin?
Well, we left our country in August 21st, 2021. Mm-hmm. And then it took us 4 days to make it to Middle East, Qatar. And then we went to Germany, where we lived for about 3 months, where we lived a life like prisoners. Even prisoners, you have some privileges and benefits. So we were not even allowed to have nail clippers for 3 months. You're not allowed to have a trimmer to trim our you know, the beard, and then like we're not allowed to have razors, and we were giving the same food for 3 months, the boiled chicken leg for 3 months twice a day. And then we made it to, in October 2021, we made it to United States, and we were taken to Virginia. Militia came for picket, where we had to stay for 3 more months. And then in January 2022, we were sent to Wisconsin. So, and the camps and military camps, sir, we didn't really feel that we were in the United States since day one. In Kabul International Airport, it was the Afghan refugees and the American forces. And then the same thing in Middle East, the American forces and the Afghan refugees. And then in Germany and then in Virginia for picket, like many other refugee or military camps in the United States. But after, outside that military base, I think the United States for us, or the time that we started feeling or observing or believing that we were in the United States, was January 2022, and that was in Wisconsin.
We have talked with a resettlement agency, Jewish Social Services of Madison, and their leader, Kayal Gardner Mishlov, has told us about support for refugees in the first 3 months.
There's a rush to do everything that we can to assist folks, you know, with housing, with getting acclimated for employment, for ESL, if that's needed, and also enrollment for if they're children in the family, school enrollment, and also medical screenings and follow-up medical care.
Najeeb, how were your first 3 months in Wisconsin as we hear about that rush of services to help? What did you feel?
Before I answer this question, I would like to emphasize on the resettlement agency's activities in the United States. United States is a country, or we are the nation here in the United States. It's the nation of the U.S., or American nation is the nation of immigrants. Everyone is an immigrant, or everyone has a background of an immigration. Their ancestors or her grandfathers, grand-grandfathers came to the United States because of some reasons. So, and I believe it was President Trump last year in his office when he decreased the number of immigrants to the United States. However, there were only 9 national resettlement agencies in the United States helping the immigrants, with the number of the immigrants that would come to the United States or make it to the United States, as estimated between 90 to 100,000 immigrants a year. And then suddenly, after the collapse of the Afghan regime, or after the Taliban took over, about 90 to 100,000 Afghans were evacuated in less than 15 days from Afghanistan, and then in less than 3 months to the United States. But the numbers of the resettlement agencies remained the same. The number of their employees, the staff remained the same. And within a few weeks, they were overwhelmed with 100,000 people with a completely different, coming from completely different culture, tradition, and norms. So the resettlement agencies were awarded the contract, I would say, from the State Department, which, well, for them, for every family or for every individual, there was a specific amount of money specified, fixed by the State Department, which the resettlement agency would take half of the money for their staff and salaries, expenses, and then half of that welcome money would go to the families. Most of the resettlement agencies, what they did, they found volunteers, what they call them, the co-sponsor teams, who did the great job. People have been very kind and helpful everywhere, not only in Wisconsin. But they were not trained, they were not experts to work with the immigrants or refugees or evacuees or asylees. They would wait to be called or asked for an assistance. And the Afghans, most of them, most 90% of the Afghans who made it to the United States do not speak English. Most of them have never been to school. They don't even read and write in their native. And then the culture shock, the language barrier, made it very difficult for those Afghans to ask for any assistance from the volunteers. And the volunteers did want to help them, but they didn't know how to help. So at the end of the day, after the first 3 months, most of the resettlement agency, what they did, well, the volunteers found or rented houses for the families, and the first 3 month rent was paid out of their own welcome money that was given to the resettlement agency by the State Department. And then at the end of the day, most of the resettlement, not all, but most of the resettlement agencies told the Afghans goodbye, which I believe made it even worse, because the volunteers there, they, like I said before, they wanted to help, they did, but they were not trained how to help and work with immigrants and refugees.
Especially in a longer term setting as well, that more it was needed more than 3 months. Najib Azad resettled in Stevens Point after the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in August 2021. Azad is a visiting lecturer at UW-Stevens Point. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with writer Najib Azad about adjusting to life in Stevens Point, years separated now from the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in 2021. Azad is a global studies visiting lecturer at UW-Stevens Point. Call in with a question. You can share your views, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Najib, you write about being one of four family generations who've spent their lives as refugees. How does your family's past experiences influence who you are now?
Well, unfortunately, I'm the third generation in my family, and my children are the fourth generation in my family that we have been refugees for. Forever, my grandpa, he was forced to leave his country by the Russians when they invaded Afghanistan, or they attacked Afghanistan. And then my dad was forced to leave his country to Pakistan during the Civil War. And of course, I was only nine, and I had to leave my classmates, my school, my friends, and everything that I was attached to. And the same thing happened to my son, who was nine at the time when we left the country. I can say that I will never be the same person, and even my children will not be the same, especially my elder son, who is 11 now, and he was only 9 when he left the country. There was an attachment. We left our loved ones. I left my parents and my siblings behind, and because of their association with me, since I worked as a press secretary for the former Afghan president. So I had to be on television every other day, and the Taliban, they knew me pretty well. So because of my parents and siblings' association with me, they have been tortured. They are still being tortured, and they are being arrested. So this experience of being the refugee for forever, I hope this ends soon. It's painful. It's really painful. I mean, nobody leaves the homelands for a vacation or things like that. It's being a refugee is never a choice. Being an immigrant is never a choice. And just like they say that no place is like home. Whenever I think of my country and countrymen and what's happening there today, you know, about 1.5 million immigrants or refugees are forcefully deported by Pakistan, sent back to the country where they were threatened, and then they are being threatened by the Taliban. It is really painful when I think of all this stuff.
Very quickly, Lisa in Milwaukee is asking, what job opportunities are there for Afghan refugees in Wisconsin, and what barriers do you experience?
Well, honestly speaking, the language and culture barrier for many, not for me, employment and economic integration and access to education and healthcare, housing and accommodation, trauma, mental health issues, discrimination sometimes, and xenophobia. About the employment opportunities, unfortunately, I thought in the past that the Afghans would be resettled based on their educational and work background. But believe me or not, Afghans who have never been to school, who do not speak English, who do not speak any other language except their native, they were sent to New York City, to California, to LA, to Virginia, to Maryland, and DC. And people who come with a PhD, with a background of teaching at American universities in the past, were sent to Stevens Point, which is a beautiful place, but it's a tiny town, and I don't see any opportunities in here. So it's not only in Stevens Point or in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, people were not relocated based on their expertise. I mean, there were a couple thousand people who were experts in dairy.
Oh, Najib, can you still hear us? Oh, I think we've just lost Najib Azad, as we've been talking to Afghan evacuee resettled in Stevens Point, now a visiting lecturer of global studies at UW-Stevens Point, wrote a memoir called Beyond Evacuation, From the Himalayas to the Statue of Liberty. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.